What's up, gamers? Welcome to Sweat Lords, where the three sweatiest gamers on Earth judge gaming hot takes. My name is Freddie Wong, former Guitar Hero World Champion, video game producer of hits such as Ice Age 3 on the Xbox 360 and Night at the Museum for the Nintendo DS. I'm joined today by my two gamer sweat lords, Anthony Birch, Forbes 30 Under 30 writer of the critically acclaimed Borderlands 2, and, of course, Matthew Arnold, a guy who was the sniper on this Call of Duty 2 clan.
Associate producer of Phineas and Ferb on the Nintendo DS. Associate producer of Phineas and Ferb in Two Dimensions on Nintendo DS. And an associate producer of Wizards of Waverly Place on the Nintendo DS.
Fuck yes.
I love it. And today we are joined by gamer Beth May.
I've heard the most popular gamer not on Twitch.
Maybe. Like, I may not be on Twitch, but my feet are.
Beth, as the guest today, what is your gamer take? Go.
Well, I got a ton of hot gamer takes being a gamer, but my biggest probably hot take, I think cutscenes should be longer, and you shouldn't have to play the game as much. You're telling me that I, as a woman, have to do free labor on this game to grind until I get to the next level? That's bullshit. You're asking me to do work for free, and I just want to sit back and watch the characters talk to each other.
What game were you playing that inspired this hot take?
What game wasn't I playing? But this is inspired purely from The Last of Us Remastered on the PlayStation 4.
Pro, of course.
Yes. And I was watching it and I was having a good time and noticing how it is different from the HBO series. And then it came time that I was supposed to play. And I was like, well, I don't want to do this. This isn't how I want to spend my time following somebody and then having to pick up ladders with the triangle.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
And then move the ladders and then climb up the ladders. That's not an adequate use of my time.
Now, I know that your gaming career started long before Last of Us, and you actually started with Tony Hawk 2. Now, do you feel like Tony Hawk 2 would be a better game if it was cutscenes and you weren't playing it?
I mean, no, but I remember when I played Tony Hawk's Underground 2, when they famously have Steve-O asking you, the player, to find his... Oh, what is it? It's like his bull or something.
His bull?
No, because you can ride the bull if you're playing Steve-O in Underground 2. But it's like Steve-O lost something and he's like, hey, man, come on, help me find this. And then that's like the level. And I'm like, yeah, I could do with more of Steve-O just talking to me.
You wanted just more Steve-O animation.
Honestly, I think Beth is 100% right. Because fucking the Tony Hawk games are about pure, unadulterated gameplay. What's Last of Us about? Kind of gameplay, kind of story. Like, fucking pick one.
That's
fucking
a good point. Lane. I'm with you on that. Beth?
Yeah.
Beth, I'm with you.
It's weird because my favorite story-driven games are like JRPGs or closer to like that style of RPG where it's just like, here's a cutscene, here's a spreadsheet, here's a cutscene, here's a spreadsheet, and here's a world I can explore. But the moment you do this like intro, I'm like, yeah, most since BioShock, like that style of like
narrative driven,
I just don't care. I'd rather watch a movie or I'd rather play a better game. Now, let me ask usually my stance.
I just remember
except
playing
God of War Ragnarok,
which was playing Spyro on the PS1.
Yeah,
and they remastered that too.
When you go to Marco, the guy with the balloon, sometimes he's like, you don't have enough like jewels, and I'm like, Marco, the balloon is right here. Show me you can take me to wherever I need to go.
I miss that video game storytelling where it's just like, you're just like a thing on a planet that planet loses a bunch of its things and they say, go get those things.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. That's all I need.
Watch out. There's some purple shit on the ground. If you touch it, you'll take damage.
I think that's good. And then you don't need that many cutscenes.
Beth, let me ask you a question. Have you experienced the cinematic works of Hideo Kojima?
Do you like JRPGs maybe?
It's all cutscenes. My roommate's making one right now.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a musical.
Is he Japanese?
No.
Then he's not.
Whoa, problematic.
He's making a
Well, he just pitches
RPG.
It as a JP.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a certain style of game.
Well, now, let me say this, though, because, like, I think that I've come across the same thing with, like, Kojima games, which is, like, the same problem with your timeout, which is this weird blend between, like, it's a lot of cutscenes. In one case, well, what's the longest cutscene in Metal Gear? It was, like, 2 hours or something like that.
What?
Along those lines. There's literally a cutscene in one of the Metal Gear Solid games that you don't touch the controller and you just watch for essentially a feature-length movie. And that sounds like the kind of thing that you might be into.
Except it's not well-written.
No.
Xenoblade Chronicles has a
It is prophetic,
yes.
But it's not well-written.
Yes. Kenny Kojima is a fucking genius, but he needs an editor.
Yeah.
Death Stranding has a 31. I'm looking at the longest cutscene. Yakuza 0 has the longest cutscene. Wait,
really?
Third longest. 42 minutes.
Wow. Didn't notice because the cutscene's so fucking good.
Fucking so good. Star Hope Ocean, 46 minutes. Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. Cutscene length, 71 minutes.
My God.
Woof.
A lot of Xenosaga on here. And Kingdom Hearts 3.
I watched my old roommate play Death Stranding. And then I played it for, like, 5 minutes. I actually really liked it because it was just, you're just walking and there's not much to worry about.
Yeah.
You just have to worry about the BB. And then watching those cutscenes was nice because it's like that guy is like actually kind of hot, but it's like he's not.
Norman Reedus?
Yeah.
What's kind of hot about Norman Reedus?
He's just kind of hot.
He's got a little, like, rat boy energy to him.
Yeah, he's
sure.
Just like, I think like he would be a generous lover.
So. Yeah, most people die for that guy.
Norman Reedus looks like the kind of person who would ride an airboat and get married to Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
You know? He has the energy of a guy who's going to give you a crocodile tour.
How hot would you say best take is?
Let's rate it, series. How sweaty was that take?
On the GamePro happy face to super shocked face scale.
Yeah.
I would say her hair is up, but her eyes aren't super wide yet. Damn. She's like, whoa.
I'm giving a mid-tone flat lips. Like,
Yeah.
That's the smiley face is going like this.
I just think as you really dig in, what Beth's hot take is that video games shouldn't be video games, which makes it a pretty hot take in terms of video games.
Actually, now that's actually upgrading my slight smirk to my smiley face. Matt, how do you judge?
It's a huh? I don't know what the huh?
I just think that most video games are too frustrating and should come easier.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's totally fair.
That's fair.
I think most things should come easier.
Yeah.
Anthony!
Yes.
What is your sweat take?
My sweat take is that we should have stopped trying to make graphics better after the PS2. We should from now all graphics are PS2 or worse, and everybody is on the same playing field. That's as good as you can get,
Anthony,
and the gameplay has to change. Now the graphics all stay the same
Anthony, I'm signaling, Anthony, come here, my friend. Come to the Nintendo waters. The water's fine. That's what Nintendo's believed from the beginning.
Yeah, no, they get it.
They get it.
I will say this. I don't think gaming graphics ever got better, like, in terms of perception, than Crysis.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not.
Like, it was, like, to me, the high point was, I can run Crysis at 60 frames a second, and it looks great. And then that was, like, I remember that moment because I was over at my friend's house, and he had Crysis running 60 frames a second at, like, 1080p.
Amazing.
No, you know, I got a crazy graphics card now. I've played all the latest. No game has looked better than that moment. My memory of that moment. We can't go past that. So what are we doing? I agree with you, Anthony.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree for the sake that which is maybe it's a hot take. I just feel like games in general, I would just say AAA games. I think there's a lot of great, and this would kind of point out, a lot of indie games have done a lot of great stuff because they're not as focused on the graphics.
Yeah, I'm literally playing UFO 50 right now. It's the epitome
exactly.
of that.
Yeah, UFO 50 has literally more innovation than the entire AAA industry in the last, like, 15 years, this one game of 50 games.
Yeah.
Because I feel like because this all been about getting those graphics better, they've essentially just stuck to the exact same. Like, difference between, like, something like Ragnarok and the first Uncharted is minor.
Yeah.
It's, like, way less minor than the first time you played an FPS or whatever.
They're
essentially
your brain literally
can't
comprehend something that, like, detailed. So at a certain point, the polygon count literally means nothing.
I'll even say this. Maybe this is jumping ahead to a different hot take. But, like, for all the complaints about sports games, like, I played FIFA 2025. I played FIFA 2024. They're very similar. As similar as every fucking Battlefield game. As similar as every Uncharted game. Like, gameplay-wise. The argument that they're different is just because it's a different story. But, like, the story's only part of it. I want gameplay. Like when I play FIFA 2025, I'm like, oh, this feels different. When I played Uncharted 3, I was like, this is exactly the same as Uncharted 2. There's no difference.
Yeah.
Just
here's
the
where,
levels are different.
Here's how you know we've gone down the wrong path. Is because in this pursuit, this dogged quest for more polygons, more graphical fidelity. You know where you understand where we're at.
Yeah.
We're at the point where it's like we need AI
to
fill in frames in between because we can't quite get all the ray tracing in. So we got to fill it in with machine hallucinations. Step away. The fists in games should be a cube. A textured cube at the end of stick arms. You understand? The fighting games when the guy's like goes and he's got the fucking PS2, PS1 like fist. That guy. I don't want to get punched by that.
Never once when we were fucking working on Wizards of Waverly Place on the Nintendo DS did I think that this game would be better with better graphics.
Very rarely does better graphics make a better game. Now let me think. When has that ever been the case?
Pure joy. When the graphics express pure joy, like Astrobot, graphics, like I was telling you this, like what I loved about Astrobot is that it had the energy of like an early 3D game.
Yeah.
Where because they're so excited about just 3D itself was so novel, that levels would just be like, this level's just tall because you've never seen tall before.
Yeah.
And like, isn't it crazy that like if you tip this thing over, it makes like a domino effect? Like, look, we have physics. You know, like the playground in Half-Life 2 when they have physics.
Yeah.
Astrobot has this energy of just like, hey, let's just put a bunch of stuff that falls down a slide because it'd be fun. Let's have this like fall away because we can do these physics. It has this energy of like actually playing with the new toys it has, as opposed to like, let's make this look as realistic as possible. And it's exactly like you're in World War II or whatever it is.
It's crazy to me.
It's like, oh, the graphics can be fun if you just treat the graphics like they're fun. Like
Splinter Cell with the idea like the room is dark, so it's hard to see. Like, we haven't gone back to that.
No.
We haven't evolved past that.
And you know why we haven't is because you have to make all the fucking polygons look so good. You can't take time on things that would actually be not the worst thing in the world to implement if you just, we're not working with an infinite number of fucking polygons. Like every game could have Splinter Cell level, like immersive sim ass shit, but we're too busy making sure that everything is fucking beautiful.
It's also part of the reason why the teams are so huge now on AAA is because so many assets need to be created, modeled, textured, lit, all that stuff. There's just a lot. Now listen, I'm not detracting from the fine work that all these people
it's hard work, for sure.
Very difficult work. But it's just a lot of time and spent resources on stuff where gameplay environments, I love when a video game is trying so hard to be like, look at all the work these 300 people did in this environment. When the camera takes over and it's like the widescreen, you're like, oh, we've reached the lost city, and it's this long shoulder shot, and it's like a bunch of birds are flocking in the background. For me, video game graphics are like when I read graphic novels. It's like, I cannot flip those pages fast enough. Like, in terms of ratio of time, human labor spent to my eyeballs grokking what I'm seeing, I'm like, oh, puddle, moving on. Like, I don't care. Someone spent a whole day of their lives in crunch not seeing their family over Christmas to make sure that the little trees by the puddle looked good and reflected good. I'm past it. Yeah. I'm past it in 2 seconds flat.
I've got a question. When you think about games that came out on like PS2, PS1.
Yeah.
When you think about your memories of playing the game, do you remember it like looking really good?
Oh, yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
I saw like Tony Hawk himself posted like it's the 25th anniversary of Tony Hawk 1 coming out. And I looked at it, I'm like, this looks like shit. But in my mind, it looked fine.
Yeah.
And
no,
in my
memories, phenomenon.
It looks good. And I think about like playing Cool Borders and SSX Tricky, and it's like, that looked fine to
me. Yes. I remember looking at the first Unreal and being like, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Graphics will never get better than what I'm looking at
now. What's crazy is there's something about the fact that it's abstract. Because like when Ocarina of Time came out, and when it showed the cutscene, and there's these like gems that are floating, they show the three gods, and they have these like floating like particle effects of like all these gems landing on Earth and not on Earth, but in Hyrule, and Hyrule like changes and it becomes green and stuff. Like as a kid, I wasn't just like, oh, graphics won't get better. I was like, that looks like real life.
Yeah.
Like that looks real.
Which
it's
is
like,
crazy because objectively,
yeah, now it's
not
a stick figure. It's the equivalent of looking at a stick figure and be like, that's real.
Have I told you?
The problem is that feeling goes away after maybe 3 years.
Did
like
cavemen,
once technology goes.
Yeah, did cavemen look at the drawings like, oh,
yo, check out
it's me. Like, is it just, how does our brain work that way?
I have a theory on this, by the way.
So there is a thing where a lot of times when they talk about remasters, you'll hear this phrase where people will be like, that remaster makes the game look like I remember it looked. Because like, you go back and you play like Tony Hawk, it looks awful, but then somebody can make a remake that like somehow just makes it look as good as you thought it did. But yeah, they,
like,
it looks crazy bad.
I played this
bad.
Game, Ricky Carmichael's Motocross.
Hell yeah, I remember, like, Ricky Carmichael.
Yeah, and I fucking loved it. And like, I was actually pretty good at it for being bad at it. And like, I just remember looking like I was riding a motorcycle.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You're like, this is clearly what it looks like to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
So my theory is that because 3D graphics, it's abstracted, right, from realistic, but it's unclear how many steps there are between where you are right now and fully photorealistic. I'm looking in the camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they body cam the, like, the footage, right, which came out, which was like scanned Unreal texture stuff, and people were like, yo, this now does look like an actual video. There's times when people are like, I thought I was looking at a video.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, we're getting there, but since it's unclear how many steps there are between point A and point B, that's why I think you're always in this uncanny valley of abstraction when it comes to 3D art. We're like, ah, that's perfect. That's clearly can't get any better than that, because you're trying to imagine how it would look better, but not photorealistic, but better. But you can't imagine that midpoint in between there.
Which, again,
theory.
Is why Nintendo fucking whips ass. Like, even though I think Ocarina, Twilight Princess, those are kind of hard to go back to graphically, like, Wind Waker will look beautiful until the sun turns off.
Yep.
Like, fucking Mario Galaxy, like, there's something about the art styles they choose that allows them to work smarter, not harder, in terms of, like, your brain isn't looking for photorealism. You're just, like, wanting to be immersed in the things that matter, which is always the fucking gameplay.
Fascinating.
Fascinating. Well, I judge Anthony's take as a rather cool take. I feel
that
like
is
that
a cool take. I agree. It's a take coming from a man who's made video games and wants to see the medium push forward.
Let me try to throw a sweaty one in here that will get some people angry.
Sweat lore. Let's hear it. Matt Arnold.
My sweaty hot take is, yo, there's no difference between 30 and 60 FPS.
Yes!
You
yes!
fucking crazy. Yes! You crazy. Yes! You crazy. Yo! Every PC gamer, like, yeah, you can tell the difference, but, like, it doesn't matter. It
I
does not matter.
I can't go with you there, my man.
No. Same when the lights are off,
I
baby.
Can't go with
you. Do you know what
you
it is?
There,
you know, every single time I see somebody be like, ugh, can't play Counter Strike 2 without 120 FPS, and I watch their fucking screens, I'm like, that's the same as that fucking dude be like, oh, I can't swing this 9-iron unless I buy a $5,000 club. It's like, you suck. Regardless, like, doesn't matter how little finely tuned your club is or how much more you spend on the ball, your swing's the same. I guarantee you that those extra FPS is not doing anything. Oh, what about the bit rate? It was like, does not matter. Does not, your
I
brain
can't.
Can't even comprehend it. Does not
it
matter.
It can comprehend it.
It does not matter. No, you're just used to it. If you go back to it, it's the same. If you go back, you were playing games at 12 FPS. If you went back and only played games at 30 FPS, you'd be fine. You would never notice it. It's fine.
Interesting. So you're claiming that the smooth motion that I perceive at 60, or in the case of my 4K gaming monitor that's 2 feet from my face, 119 frames a second, 120 frames a second. You're telling me that I've simply spoiled myself.
I just don't think it matters. To me, the obsession over it is just telling that there's nothing else going on in
gaming.
So
I will say this.
Every single time a game comes out, they're like, oh, God, how's the performance mode versus the graphics mode? It's like, clearly games are just boring now. Because the only thing people are talking about is if it has 60 FPS. And the number of times, like, God, like, I'm playing, like, Echoes of Wisdom or whatever, and I'm sitting here, like, just spawning, like, items and doing physics and doing all these creative puzzles in the Zelda game. And then I'll go on, and people will be like, ugh, I hear it drops to 28 FPS in some things. I'm going to go back to my generic FPS that's the exact same thing as every other fucking game that has like an
I will
ounce,
rant.
Like
I
one
will...
tenth of the creativity. And then they'll be like, well, why can't it be creative and have 60 FPS? Because time is not infinite. And they can only spend resources on some things. And Nintendo spends resources on magic and imagination, while your fucking companies are spending resources on maxing out the same boring image to look slightly faster and slightly smoother. Does not fucking matter. Do you know what they should do? Everybody should just concentrate on getting monitors just to interpolate the frame rate for people. And just
which
like,
is getting there. Which is getting
there. Just
well,
do
granted,
it. Who cares?
No, I will say this. In your defense of what I judge to be the sweatiest take we've heard,
I think movies should go to 30 or games should go to 24. There should be one frame rate. One frame rate that we're all used to.
In your defense of that take, when G-Sync stuff started to first show up, there was a noticeable amount of people being like, oh, 40 frames a second is totally playable.
Mm-hmm.
And what that, to me, what that says
wow,
is...
Wow, 40 frames a second is playable. It's not like I'm in the Stone Age of 30 FPS that most
but
games
what I
are.
Think, but what I think that does point out is that it points out what people were detecting and were going against in the 60 frames versus 30 frames was specifically screen tearing. Like, that's what they were saying.
And
like,
uneven frame rate sucks. And look, there are certain things, like I think a lot of racing games look really good at 60 FPS.
Because sports
like, it was
games
really
in
fast.
General, yeah.
If something is moving across screen space very, very quickly, like,
So fighting games.
Or like even like a shmup or whatever.
Oh,
I could see.
Interesting.
And yes, fighting games. But again, to me, it's like if you are concerned about the 60 FPS on a fighting game, you're already really, really good.
Yo,
it's like being concerned about like a certain type of golf club. Like, yes, if you're a pro, it's like when people are like, yo, my macro is like, yo, are you actually an athlete? Then like just eat healthy. You don't need to focus this 9th, 10th level thing. It's like, I guarantee you, you'll be fine. Just if a game's 30 FPS, like you'll be fine.
No, I remember this from my days as a Guitar Hero world champion. During tournaments, they would be like, hey, this, we would go and we'd play the tournaments. And yeah, they'd be like, all right, go. And the first person would go. And like literally the people sitting around and the person playing would be like, this is off.
Mm-hmm.
This is off. And then because we were the greatest in the world at this game, it even got to the point where there were some guys who would be like, it's 25 milliseconds off. Just off feel. And they would be right.
Well, that's input lag. Which again, the other thing is like,
well,
it's also
bad. Different.
But I'm saying that the perception of like that sort of stuff, yes, you can get that fine too, especially in fighting games. You hear about fighting games, you hear about Melee when it's like, oh, CRTs is why Melee is all CRTs. The point is that interface, that back and forth, the interface between like vision and gameplay, I think you're right. Because if you're sitting here being like, Final Fantasy VII, you know, the remake's gotta be 60 frames. It's like, this is a menus game.
You'll get used to it, is the point. It's not even that the 60 FPS is bad, it's just like, you're fine with 30. It's fine. Most of the games I play on the Switch are 30, and it's fine. And then, yes, I have a nice PC, and I can play my fucking Space Marine 2 at, like, 70 frames per second, but it's fine. It's fine.
Damn.
It doesn't matter. It's mostly the people are like, I refuse to play this until it gets to 60 FPS. I'm like, okay.
The whole performance mode, like, 60 FPS thing, I got it. Nothing takes me out of a game more than being like, you got to turn on the console and then make sure you have the frame rate counter in the corner. There's nothing good that can come from having your frame rate counter in the corner. Like, you're seeing that. What does it say? It's telling you either this is acceptable to the number that you've deemed like 96 frames or higher, or it's just a number that pisses you off.
Here we think I wouldn't have any hot takes. Here's my other hot take. I'm just throwing out the way it takes. Because even to the point, it's like, hey, what does it hurt to have a company give you choices? I just want menu. I just want choices. I want options. No options. Games are art. I hate the moment. See, I thought you were going to say the moment I open up a game and there's performance or graphic options, do you know what I think? The first word that comes to my mind? Coward. I see that option, I go, coward. I was like, this game company does not have any confidence in the image they are presenting me. I don't go to fucking look at a Monet painting and they say, hey, really quick, do you want to look at it in saturated colors or do you want to check it out in a black and white scale? It's like, no, Monet's like, here's my art. Consume it, enjoy it or not, and have an opinion about it. The moment a game gives me option, I'm like, why? I'm like, what? You don't know what you want? You spent millions of dollars to give this to me, and you're like, look, I get it could be the equivalent of like, hey, you want pepper or not, like on your pasta, but I still expect 90% of the plate to be done. Like, that's just like the little garnish. Obviously, there's different like button mapping and stuff, but so many times, like I remember Burnout Paradise, one of my favorite games of all time. People were like, it's insane.
Which game? Burnout Paradise?
Burnout Paradise.
So
they're
fucking
like,
good.
They're like, oh, it's insane that they don't let you like spawn wherever you want. Like, you should have fast travel on this. I'm like, no.
It's a game about driving around.
It's a game about driving around, and they want you to learn the environment. It's like, well, that's my choice if I want to play that way. He's like, no, it's not. It's their choice how you play. You can either enjoy it or not enjoy it and go play something else. And to me, near the end of the cycle, they did end up like putting the fast travel into it
sucks.
And letting you restart. It really did. We are animals and we will respond. We will go to the most convenient thing and we will change the way we play whether or not we want to or not. Most of us don't have the willpower to force ourselves to avoid menus or easy modes or things like that. So like Burnout Paradise was less good the moment I could just restart a race and jump around. I beat the game faster and it was more efficient.
But you didn't have as good of a time.
But I didn't have the thrill and the joy of learning this environment and running around. Yeah, I think games need less options most of the time.
Wow.
Like, get it out.
Oh,
I think you need to be confident in your design.
Fascinating. I love it. I judge that take quite sweaty.
Yeah, I would say that's max sweaty. That's really
max
good.
Sweaty.
All right. Here is my take, gentlemen and Beth. No more Unreal games. No more. I'm like, sick of them.
Wait, you mean so a whole Unreal Engine you just want gone?
Unreal Engine? Here's the problem. Unreal Engine has become this thing that everybody is leaning on, which again, I get it. I understand the reasons for it. I understand the production efficiencies that it gives.
Yeah.
I don't argue any of that, but I say, look at what has this wrought.
Mm-hmm.
Just hundreds of identical feeling and looking games. Different genres, different types of games, but because it's Unreal Engine, because everyone's doing the same shortcuts through it, every game feels the same. And to me, it's the same feeling in the same way all like blockbuster movies look and feel the same. Mm-hmm. To me, the game engine, I've told this to Anthony, the game engine is like the equivalent of like film stock. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, I get it. There's probably it's a subtle difference, but I've said that I can sit down in front of any computer game. I can be like a sommelier in front of it. I could be like, this is, move the mouse around a little bit. WASD, move around a little bit. I'll be like, 1990s Eastern European developer. Ah, this is a double A American. I'm going to say California developer, PC era. This is a Japanese developer. You know, there's a flavor that the engine imparts onto the game. And the problem is when everything is getting through Unreal, all the games start to feel the same. So then when like Space Marine 2 comes out, it's like a breath of fresh air because they're using their weird Swedish engine that they've used on Dark Tide. They use it on, it just feels different. It's the equivalent to me of being like, ah, VHS tape versus 4K film. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, it might be the same movie, but it feels different. There's a texture to it that's different. And I play games not to feel superior, to get the sense of accomplishment. No, I play games for the full experience, the full texture of it. And I want to feel a little jank sometimes. I want to feel the idea of like, ah, I can tell that this is a budget developer.
I mean, in a way it is like just a super version of like RPG Maker, where it's like, to the point where like, so the few Nintendo games have used Unreal, I didn't realize that Pikmin 4 did, but Pikmin 4 was maybe my favorite game of last year. I loved it. But when I went back to play Pikmin 3, 2, and 1, because my daughter really loved it, I was like, oh, like the graphics feel different. Like the feel of the game is different. And it's like it was Unreal 4. But specifically Peach's Superstar, the latest Princess Peach game that came out. And I also think Yoshi Woolly, which one? Crafted World.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few Nintendo games that are in Unreal. They have all the Nintendo like polish, but it feels different. Like Peach's Showtime does not feel like the Mario company. You know, it doesn't feel the same as like Mario Galaxy or Mario Wonder or whatever. It's just, it does feel a little bit like somebody making a Mario game on
Unreal. I also acknowledge too, like there is a, for example, Unity look and feel, right? Mm-hmm. And I would say like Lethal Company has that. Mm-hmm. Lethal Company this year was like, ah, this is like peak Unity game. Then, not surprisingly, all the sort of copycats that kind of came after that, same sort of feel, right? And so I'm like, I miss the era of like, yo, the engines are fighting. Yo, this was when id Software was doing like the crazy Rage engine stuff. And I was like, I think we took for granted how much of a different flavor it imparted without realizing that by consolidating everything under the Fortnite engine, now everything feels a little Fortnite-y.
Yeah.
You know? Fall Guys feels a little bit more like Fortnite than it does any like other type of game. That is my take. We need to go back to the engines era.
I like that.
I like it.
We've driven Beth away from the podcast.
Yeah, she left.
Beth is off to go pick up some food and also play some games, obviously. Sweat Lords, I think we've had a good session here today.
Good sesh.
Good sesh. What are you playing, Matt?
I am currently playing Metaphor ReFantazio, and I'm enjoying it quite a lot. And then I'm also replaying Astrobot constantly because my daughter is really into Astrobot, and she's getting very good at beating levels by herself. And then I'm playing TCG Card Shop Simulator.
You're still on TCG Simulator?
That is my fucking, like, I don't want to think about the election. I'm just playing it. It's essentially just cow clicker. There's no strategy. It's just.
How's your spot?
It's doing pretty good. I was telling Anthony that I'm playing very inefficiently, which means I'm trying to make it look like a pretty shop. In order to get lots of money, you play like a maniac, and you just, like, make everybody go into a tiny, tiny store with all one item and supercharge it. And eventually you'll get, like, millions of dollars a day. I get, like, $7,000 a day. But my store looks nice. It's got all the items. I'm playing Blops 6 a little bit.
And
I'm trying to find, I always have a game I'm playing on the Nintendo Switch, but I need to find what that is now because I just beat Echoes of Wisdom, the Zelda game. So I'm thinking maybe I'll hop back into, in honor of Xenoblade Chronicles X coming out to Switch, I might finally finish Xenoblade Chronicles 3, which I had not finished yet.
His cup runneth over. Anthony, what are you playing?
Well, I've got 50 quality fucking retro games on UFO 50.
Let's be more specific. Which game on UFO 50 are you on right now?
Right now I'm doing Mini and Max, which grow or shrink sizes and get to completely different worlds at different scales.
Wow. And then,
is it good?
It's fantastic. Really
good. What's your favorite UFO 50 game so far?
Velgress.
Velgress, really? You Velgress. Psycho.
I love the way it feels.
Matt,
feels
what
so
was
good.
Your
is, that the, is that the climbing one?
Yeah, it's the one that Freddy is can't having all the trouble with on tour. I'll also say the Silent Hill 2 remake is fucking impeccable. I highly recommend that as well.
I'm excited to play that. I need to go back to UFO 50. I only golded like 10, and I probably played like 20 of the games. My two favorites so far were Bushido Ball
and
Bug Hunt. Bug Hunt. I just like
Bug Hunt. So fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, I like that style of tactics.
I'm all about Waldorf's Journey. Was sick.
I love Waldorf's Journey.
I loved Waldorf's Journey. Because of the feeling of like being able to nail the parabolic arc
yep.
felt great. I'm playing Silent Hill 2 right now.
And?
Absolutely Spooky. Great. I had such a great experience with the first Silent Hill 2 because there was this Halloween where we were like, my friends and I were like, let's play all of Silent Hill 2 mm-hmm. over Halloween. We started at like 5 in the afternoon.
Ooh, impeccable.
Ended at like 7 in the morning. Like,
that's good
all
vibes
night.
For that
and
ending.
There were some moments in that where it was like 1 a.m. and we got to the Pyramid Head bit. And it was like, we were screaming. And I was like, really curious to be like, can this capture that feeling, even though there's a pretty major camera change, yeah. right? It's going to be normal third-person
yes.
adventure camera as opposed to the top-down stuff that Silent Hill 2 was. And I got to say, they got the vibe of it down, which is like, that's the harder part.
I heard their fog is really
good. And then what is actually really interesting about it is the thing that actually makes it stand out better, I think, than the original Silent Hill 2 is specifically Silent Hill 2... In that PS2 over-the-top you know, sort of thing, there was a certain set of expectations that you had in terms of how you would expect characters to react.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is now more photorealistic, you know, better graphics, more third-person adventure, the fact that your character, James, like reacts weird to things or doesn't react at all stands out more.
That's interesting.
And it makes it more like... You immediately are like, wait, why is this guy not doing that? And that because, which of course, ties in, for those of you who know Silent Hill 2, it ties into like the reason of the way the game is and all that stuff and the sort of overall story of it. So like, weirdly enough, the graphical improvement changed the way that I approached the game in terms of the expectations and how I read the character motivations and character actions. It actually helped it, I think, in my opinion. Still playing UFO 50, Blops 6 with Blops Matt. 6. The campaign... You know, I gotta say, any of those free roaming levels, I just couldn't handle it. I want Call of Duty to be just a straight ahead linear experience. So saith I. Beth, what games are you playing? How far are you in Last of Us?
Well, I ordered it.
That's great.
Is it not coming?
You're
yet?
Giving very Trump, is that your Bible? Yes. Well, it's a Bible.
Yeah, I mean, it arrived and it's in my living room.
So you haven't picked it up since the tour?
Well, no.
You playing mobile games?
My mom and I both play this very easy game on the anti-stress app that you just pick three things that match and you tap them, and it's called Tap Match, and my mom is on level 3,000.
Holy shit!
I'm not exaggerating. Like, she's like, Bethy, I'm so embarrassed about how good I am at this game, and I'm like, never be embarrassed for being a gamer, Mom. You should have Donna on here next time for your sweaty takes.
We'll leave you all listeners with that, Beth. Never be embarrassed that you're a gamer. Thank you so much. This was episode 1 of Sweat Lords. I hope you've enjoyed it.